This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
While the lionfish is not directly related to sailing, the boats that we sail on go right on top of their habitats, and it's this funny dichotomy where you rarely see what's happening beneath the boat, and so we're trying to like peel back that layer and bring people down under the waters, show them how important and vital the coral reefs are to our survival.
Perhaps it's cold comfort, but it turns out that we human beings are not the only species on Earth hell-bent on destroying our own habitat. We share that ignominious honor with the venomous, carnivorous, and highly invasive lionfish. This week on Sea Change Radio, we talk about what these marine invaders are doing to the ocean's coral reefs and what's being done to reduce the damage. Our guests today all are working in Bermuda, one of the regions of the world where these creatures are wreaking havoc on the coral reef. First, we hear from Colin Angle, CEO of iRobot, the company that makes the robotic vacuum cleaner Roomba, and his wife, biologist Erica Angle. Together, they've devised a way to use vacuum robot technology to catch the intrusive but tasty lionfish. Then we're joined by Jeremy Potchman from 11th Hour Racing, who tells us about how his organization is leveraging the America's Cup, set to take place in Bermuda this June, to raise global awareness about the problem. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Erica and Colin Angle. Erica, Colin, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to be here.
So what problem is RISE trying to solve? Why don't you explain the mission of your organization, if you will?
Robots in Service of the Environment, RISE, is an organization designed to use low-cost robotic technology to solve serious environmental problems. And our first problem that we're addressing is the lionfish invasive species problem here on the Atlantic seaboard. The challenge, this is an invasive species. It came from the Pacific. It has no natural predators, and it lays thousands of eggs every few days, and it has, again, the population is getting just out of control, and they eat all the juvenile fish around the reefs. And without these juvenile fish to eat the algae blooms, the reefs die, and we have a huge ecological disaster. And so the problem is, how do we address this without causing a bigger problem of trying to introduce some type of predator, which never ends well, or using chemicals, which can have horrible consequences beyond that which was intended. And we're designing a robot that is cheap enough that we could deploy it at scale and have a robot catch sort of more than its value in lionfish, so a fisherman would actually be interested in using these robots to enhance their catch. And the lionfish are good to eat. One of our mottos is, you have to eat them to beat them. And so that is one dimension of RISE, and the other is to tell everyone about what we're doing.
So one of my passions is in education. I run a nonprofit called Science from Scientists, which sends scientists into classrooms to educate students in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And so much of the content and material that is going to be generated from the various missions of the robot, but also just the general concepts, whether it be from ocean health to reef health to invasive species. There's just so much educational content that piggybacks very well with curriculum relevance in the classrooms, and, you know, what kids don't love learning about oceans. So it was sort of a natural pairing of both the robotic technology side and then bringing this content and really neat material into the classroom to inspire future generations, which are really, you know, going to be out there trying to save our planet.
I don't know who wants to take this, but can one of you address how lionfish have been caught in the past and why we need robots to try to catch them? They're a prickly sort, huh?
Right. So they have venomous spines, and so that not only does that keep other predator fish away, it also makes it a much more complicated thing to catch. So what people have done is spear them, and so that you can go and with a sort of a three-pronged spear go and collect them. And that actually works pretty well as long as you're doing it in an area that scuba divers frequent often. But the problem is the ocean is much larger than that, and the areas that the lionfish reproduce is down at depth. And so scuba diving only works to about 100 feet. Most of the lionfish growth and population is down at 200-400 feet. And so there is no current alternative out there, and so that the lionfish are just breeding unmolested down at depth.
So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of a background on your robotics career, Colin? You're the chairman of the company that makes the Roomba, right?
Right. So I'm the co-founder, CEO, and chairman of iRobot, and we're most well known for the Roomba floor vacuuming robot. And so as I was looking for a way to give back to the community using some of the skill sets that I developed at iRobot, what I realized is that the ability to make low-cost robots, right? Because if you think about the lionfish problem we just described, there's really no point catching one fish with a $500,000 robot. It's just the math can never scale. But if we could capture tens of fish with robots that cost under $1,000, that starts to get interesting, and you could imagine thousands or tens of thousands of robots actually being deployed and having a numeric impact on the populations of lionfish and really attacking this problem. And so my background in robotics and from my day job laid the groundwork for what we're doing at RISE, just like Erica's background with Science from Scientists is extending the actual robot part into the classroom to educate the next generation to ensure people grow up realizing the challenges of invasive species.
And so what is this project that you have in Bermuda on April 19th? We're talking to you live from Bermuda, by the way. Why don't you explain how it ties in with the America's Cup?
On the 19th, we're launching a Kickstarter campaign to raise awareness for RISE. Obviously, if we're going to deploy thousands of robots, we need a community of people who are excited and interested in actually using these robots. And so building a community is incredibly important. So the genesis of RISE was here in Bermuda, and we were able to partner with the Ministry of the Environment here, and also a number of oceanographic researchers interested in this problem. And so this was a logical place to do the development of the prototypes. And so today we have two prototype robots in the water that are doing system testing, and hopefully we'll get our first stun and capture events here today. And the America's Cup plays into it because BAR Racing has identified the lionfish crisis as one of the causes that they're supporting. And so we launch our Kickstarter tomorrow, and BAR Racing, in partnership with 11th Hour Racing, is having a lionfish cook-off where they're bringing celebrity chefs to try out various recipes for the fish.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Erica and Colin Angle. Erica, maybe you can explain how the lionfish got there. It's kind of a mystery, it sounds like. Perhaps they were released from aquariums. And is this linked to climate change, the fact that they're starting to really take a bite out of these coral reefs, these very fragile regions?
Sure. So, you know, no one knows for sure how it all happened, but there is lore that suggests that someone had an aquarium, a tank, and somewhere in Florida, and released them out into the ocean maybe 20, 25 years ago. And because of the rapidity with which they replicate, right, Colin had mentioned 30 to 40,000 eggs every, I'd say, 3 to 4 days. And because they have no natural predators, they've really been able to multiply at a rate that is, you know, uncontrollable. And of course, there's no natural predator, et cetera. So they've just been out of control. You know, I think specifically with regards to climate change, again, we don't know, but they're, you know, the lionfish do have a specific temperature at which they do breed more successfully. And then if it's too hot or too cold, you know, things have a tendency of slowing down. But, you know, in general, I think as for what Colin had mentioned, you know, previously, populations are much more easily controlled at the depth where recreational divers can go and spearfish or hunt them, at depth where there is no, you know, spearfishing. They replicate uncontrollably. There are images that have been taken, photographs by folks either on rebreather diving type situations or just, you know, who have been taking photographs at depth where you just see football fields of lionfish, which is almost like it's out of some sort of horror film. You can imagine just tens of thousands of lionfish at depth. But they do have kind of like a replication cycle where between a certain window of temperature, they very successfully replicate.
So maybe you can explain how your robotic solution can really take a dent out of this population. It sounds very laborious, but if you, I know this is a audio format, so it's hard to kind of visualize, but maybe you can paint a picture for us how it works in terms of trying to get a large number of lionfish captured.
Well, the basic robot, if you can think of a tube with two probes sticking out the front that is able to move through the water like a submarine, and can sort of move up onto a fish where the fish is between the probes. It electrocutes the fish, stunning the fish, and then a current is pulled through that tube, sucking the fish into the tube. And so you capture the fish in the tube, and then you go and you do the next one, and you do the next one until the tube is full. Then you come to the surface.
And there's some video element there, right? So that you know that you're only getting lionfish?
Right. All of this is being flown by an operator, an underwater vehicle operator on the surface. So they're selecting the targets.
I see.
And in time, a computer will help identify the lionfish. But in the early days, it'll be a person.
I just think it's worth adding that lionfish, because they have no natural predators in this environment, they don't swim away. Whereas most fish, if you came right up next to them, right, they would swim away. But lionfish are quite brave in that fashion. So just by default of that, you're mm-hmm. able to come very, very close to them. And that's the difference, right? Most fish won't just sit there.
You're kind of vacuuming them up, is that right?
We are vacuuming up stunned lionfish. And then we bring them to the surface, dump them in a cooler, and you have fresh lionfish to eat. And then the key is making this whole system cheap enough that we can mass produce them, and so that you can fish with these devices. You could use it as an interesting sport for someone who wanted the thrill of piloting one of these devices. And so that, again, the Kickstarter campaign is about starting to create a community who will ultimately become the operators of these robots.
And what does lionfish taste like?
It's very good, actually. It's a sort of a mild, white, flaky fish. I've had it. It's excellent.
But it's venomous, right? Is it difficult to fillet?
So you have to cut off the spines.
Right. Apparently, once you're skilled at it, you can cut the spines off underwater and just put the fillets. If you are one of these manual human spear fishers, you can do it quite quickly. or bring it up, dump it into a barrel, and with special gloves, which would allow you to handle it, snip the spines off. So there's an additional step, but it's actually a quick step, and then it's like filleting any other fish, and it's delicious. The fact that the fillets are so green that you're actually helping the environment by eating the fish makes it a prized meal, because it's both delicious and beneficial.
And can people buy lionfish anywhere, or do they have to go to Bermuda to this celebrity cook-off at the America's Cup?
You can. For a while, Whole Foods was actually selling them. And I think part of the challenge is with the inconsistency of supply, which is, again, why this robot starts becoming more and more important, because if you had a more reliable and consistent way of sourcing them, I think you'd see it more often in the traditional mainstream fish market. But, you know, on many islands in the Caribbean, they are purchasable. You can buy them online through mm-hmm. different purveyors, so they are available.
And if folks want to get involved in their Kickstarter campaign, we'll link to it on seachangeradio.com, but maybe you can explain how they can get involved.
Visit the robotsise.org website, and there's a link to Kickstarter, or you can go to Kickstarter and search lionfish.
Erica and Colin Angle, thank you so much for being my guests on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
Oh, my love. Oh, listen to the lion. Oh, listen, listen, listen to the lion. Sadly.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Jeremy Pochman. Jeremy, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hello, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
So you're the strategic director and founder of 11th Hour Racing. First, what is 11th Hour Racing?
11th Hour Racing is a program of the Schmidt Family Foundation. We have been around since 2010, and our mission is really to work with the marine industries to find and create and promote innovative solutions to the challenges facing the health of our oceans and all of the maritime communities that interact so closely with the oceans.
And beyond this lionfish project, which I want you to dive into in a second, what other kind of projects has your organization been involved with?
Yeah, so for the most part, the way that we focus our efforts is in the sailing industry in particular. We're based in Newport, Rhode Island, and we try to find local solutions to some of these bigger, overarching global problems. And so we work with a lot of community-oriented programs in Rhode Island along Narragansett Bay. And the largest part of our efforts is really based on sailing sponsorships. We work with sailing teams, sailing events. We're actually in Bermuda right now with the Land Rover BAR team. We're the exclusive sustainability partner for the British America's Cup team, who have really made it their goal to become the most sustainable sports team in the world. And the reason that we take this approach is to really focus on the inspiring change and offering like viable solutions, showing that it works, and nothing works better than winning in a lot of ways. There's a great quote from Dr. Alan Herskowitz from the Green Sports Alliance that says that 17% of Americans follow science, but 81% follow sport. We find this to be the case the world over with all of our programs, and we build off this platform. Instead of selling a product for a pair of shoes for winning a basketball game or a soccer game, we kind of sell an idea And that idea is that we can make better choices on and off the water. It will help the team win the event that they're in. And the end result is positive for the team and for the environment around them, the communities. And so the reason that we're here in Bermuda right now is to work with the Eat Lion Fish Chef's Throwdown.
Explain how this is going to work, this throwdown.
Yeah, so, you know, we were thinking, we're fortunate enough to be a part of this, the British America's Cup team campaign, and Bermuda's been a wonderful host to all of the teams for the last couple of years leading into the America's Cup that's happening this coming May and June. And we wanted to make sure that we left a legacy behind us, that when the event's over, it's not the end of it for the island. And one of the biggest problems that's facing and threatening the coral and the fish populations around Bermuda is the lionfish. And it's not a problem that's endemic to Bermuda.
So how is 11th Hour Racing participating in this lionfish awareness campaign that's happening in Bermuda around the America's Cup?
Yeah, so about a year ago, while we were here during the World Series event that happened in Bermuda, we concocted this plan to bring together some of the leading chefs in the world who are also focused on sustainability. And, you know, they primarily cook only with sustainable fish that are caught and harvested in sustainable manners. And we decided to have a sort of mock cooking competition to demonstrate that the lionfish is not only a threat, but it has the potential to be a delicious dinner item. You know, it can be cooked in myriad ways, and it's a pretty exciting and fascinating thing. But it traditionally has not been, as you know well, it hasn't been easily. It's hard to get to. They're poisonous spines and all that stuff. So how do we tell the story that this is a wonderful option to put on our plates, and that how do we create a fishery out of it? All our fisheries are under pressure, so what are the fishermen supposed to do? And if we could build off of the platform and the visibility of the America's Cup teams and the America's Cup itself to tell this story of what could potentially become a viable fishery with Bermuda as part of the legacy of the America's Cup, setting themselves up as a leader in sustainable fisheries, this, you know, that was kind of the hook for the Eat Lion Fish Chef's Throwdown.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Jeremy Pochman. There are some very deep pockets in the sailing world, and most of the people who love sailing have a real appreciation for the ocean and the environment. It would seem like this is a nice fit in terms of finding some of these traditionally very wealthy individuals and corporations that throw in with the America's Cup to try to do something that can make a real difference.
Yeah, and moreover, what we really see as an opportunity here is to normalize the lionfish as a viable source of food. If we could do that and make it a great option to put on our plates, have it something that the chefs are actively going out to find, have it something that the tons of people that watch the America's Cup say, hey, I saw this thing, this looked really cool, where can I get some of that? You know, how can I do my part? How can I participate? Like, yes, there's an incredible amount of foundational support, like real significant capital that's in the America's Cup. But our athletes have become, for better or for worse, they really are the role model of the current era. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for them to carry a really great and strong message and build off of it. And while the lionfish is not directly related to sailing, the boats that we sail on go right on top of their habitats, and it's this funny dichotomy where you rarely see what's happening beneath the boat. And so we're trying to like peel back that layer and bring people down under the waters, show them how important and vital the coral reefs are to our survival. Not just, you know, on the, oh, it's really nice to have fishes around and that's cool and all, but very directly here, the coral reefs protect the island of Bermuda, which protect all the people and it keeps the storms and the waves from actually washing over the island. It breaks all that down.
Just looking at some of the videos of where the lionfish has invaded in the coral reefs, it seems like the traditional spectacular beauty of a coral reef is often, I don't know if it has to do with the lionfish's introduction into that reef, but almost all of the videos I saw, the reefs were like these dusty, muddy, kind of less than pristine areas.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. I mean, we have the coral reefs already under so much pressure from ocean acidification and from sea temperature change, and so much is happening that's putting them under pressure. Well, these lionfish come in, and within 3 to 5 weeks, they'll kill off 80% of the small fishes that inhabit a reef, and those are the fish that maintain the healthy ecosystem in and around the reef. They clean the corals, they, you know, stop the algae from building up on top of them. When the algae build up on top, they block the sun from getting all the way to the coral, and the coral isn't able to create and produce its own food, and it kind of spirals very quickly down from there. And then the reefs that are already under so many pressures are really put to the test. It's, you know, similar to what's happening in the evergreen forests and stuff out in Colorado and stuff with the Japanese beetle. And it's just, it pushes the corals over the limit of what they can survive. And then these fish just sit there and they don't know any better. And there's no predation on them. And their prey don't recognize them as a threat. So they're incredibly effective and efficient. So not only are we then destroying all the habitats that support our communities and our fisheries and all of that sort of things, but it compounds it more and more. So what would be the best solution is, yeah, maybe eradicate the lionfish, but that's realistically probably not possible. I mean, they've now come through the Suez Canal and shown up in Italy, in Malta, and all over. I think a friend saw one in Nantucket Harbor last summer. They die off in the winter when they're too far north on the east coast of the United States. But it's a pretty radical and terrifying problem, these voracious predators just out there eating everything that comes in front of them. A great story from the Bermuda Aquarium. They decided to test one of the fish and just see kind of how its behavior was different here than back in the Pacific. And so they started feeding it minnows, and it just kept eating the minnows and kept eating them till it had so many fish in its belly that the tail was sticking out of one was sticking out of its mouth, and it was still trying to get to the next minnow in front of it. And the tail of the last one was pushing the next one away. And so they don't know what to do. I mean, the fish are larger here. I would have to imagine that their behavioral patterns are changing quite significantly, and evolution itself works too slowly for the fishes to adapt right away to this new threat. And we're really excited that Colin and Erica are going to be down here with us and participating in this, and they're doing all their work with RISE. But because the lionfish is so difficult to harvest, you can't fish it by normal means. It hasn't been a viable option to even promote to the restaurants and restaurateurs and the larger consumer population. So we're really excited about this Eat Lionfish Throwdown because it is bringing together so many different players from across the board.
Jeremy Pochman, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by O'Donnell Levy and Van Morrison. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.